Welcome everyone, I'm Jim Boy Star, and this is the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, and I just want to say, I did get WWE 12, and sorry, this is a spoiler, I'm sure, but I don't really care, it's worth mentioning. In the game, at some point, see, I'm not going to spoil too much for you, Triple H is referred to as a 16-time world champion. It makes you think, doesn't it?
The following program is for mature audiences only. This program may contain foul language and sexual content. For those that are listening, please be advised.
All right, everyone, Jim Boy Star here, and it is the return of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. We were not on last week, and alongside here with Mr. Anonymous.
What is going on, everyone? I am back. You thought I was gone, but I'm back. How y'all doing out there?
How was your Black Friday?
Man, that was so disturbing. I got trampled. I got molested on by individuals. I'm pretty sure I lost a ring. I'm not sure what happened to it, but nonetheless, I did get what I needed out of there, and I got up out of there. It was worth it, though.
Wait a minute. You lost a ring?
Say that one more time.
You lost a ring?
Yes, I lost a ring because I have a pinky ring, and I was looking through some clothes, and out of nowhere, this woman said, "Hey, I want them pants." I'm like, "What?" And she came in and just jumped on me. And she, I swear she, I think she snatched my ring off. It's like, if I can't have them pants, I'm having something of yours. And, well, that's that.
She probably took your ring and then threw it, that hoping that you would go look for it. Therefore, you would not be able to get the pants.
Well, I fooled her because I get my pants, but yet I'm without my ring. Damn.
There it is. There you heard it here first. Mr. Anonymous kept his pants. So wait, are you one of the shoppers that woke up at like 5 a.m. or did you actually just stay up and do midnight first? Because some
no.
stores were midnight.
I refuse to go up there at midnight or 5 o'clock to wait in line. No, I heard stories from my friends that went up there. No, I was not going to get trampled and stepped on. Who am I? I'm Mr. Anonymous. I'm no random pedestrian.
Wait a minute, I thought you just said that you got stomped on and trampled, so I guess your plan kind of failed there.
Well, I didn't get trampled on and stomped on as much as Black Friday customers. I got less of this effect of that day.
Okay, so it was a little bit of a shield. We have the DJ Hyde interview, by the way. That's coming up, conducted by Bill, to promote the Cage of Death event. And also, we have the word of the day, pre-recorded by myself here. You know, let's just jump right into the first topic here on the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. R-Truth suspended. Shocker, no shocker, and overall thoughts, Mr. Anonymous.
What? Ron the Truth Killers? Mr. Jimmy himself? He's suspended? What?
30 days, failed the wellness policy.
I wonder what it was for. What could it be? A paranoid character calling invisible people little Jimmies?
Talking to pigeons?
Talking to invisible individuals, calling individuals little Jimmies? It could it be the marijuana?
Yeah, I don't... what was it? I think I read something about, was it synthetic marijuana?
Nonetheless, it's still going to come up in your blood, your system. I'm telling you all that now. If y'all going for a drug test, it's still going to show up regardless.
Right, okay, well, the point is he suspended for 30 days, and that was the reason, which a lot of people were like, why break up The Miz and R-Truth, which to my answer was like, I just don't care. I mean, it's not like they really mean that much of a team to me. But a lot of people were like, why all of a sudden break up? That's the reason. Now, honestly, part of me is kind of like saying to myself, well, at least he gets to, he did at a right time, because by the time he comes back, which is the 30 days, it's going to be the holiday season. He could spend a lot of time with his family as long as he doesn't worry about money. Because not everyone in the world worries about money.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like would rather have some family time. I mean, like I said, granted, it is wrong. You know, they did obviously it is a punishment. I don't think he gets paid during the 30 days. I could be wrong. It might just be a regular suspension.
That would be nice though. 30 days and plus the holidays that are coming up, that would be a nice little paycheck just to sit at home and be with the family. That'd be nice.
But the one thing that he probably does have on his mind is when he comes back, does he get pushed still? Because obviously him and The Miz were pushed to fight Cena and The Rock at Survivor Series. Is
If you
that going to be
really think about
affected?
it, were they really pushed?
Thank you. I was going to add that myself. Well, what Miz in the past has been, but not really R-Truth. Everyone seems to think that R-Truth was see, not everyone. I've read different people with different opinions. He's the top guy now. He's fighting The Rock and Cena, but take that match away. He had one world title match this entire year. Yes, he has he yes, he's gone from like I guess lower card to mid card to an upper carder, but I don't think I mean it's not like he was the Miz where Miz headlined, was the main event at WrestleMania. So I just think he might just go back to being what he was, and I don't know if I would consider it a D push. Your thoughts, Mr. Anonymous?
Well, okay, when he comes back, I don't. It's weird to us a Miz attacked him to knock him off television for the audience. But is he going to come back? Is he going to be the face? For one,
Think
he
he has
doesn't
to
work
be.
as a face. If he comes back as a face, he's going to be that stereotypical come out here rapping for the fans. At least with this paranoid gimmick that he had before pairing with the Miz, it was over. I feel that if he comes back, he's still going to get pushed because people are still going to remember that. And I never thought the people really hated him. I thought they just laughed at him for that whole paranoid gimmick. So he's gonna have a little strong fan base that he can tweak his gimmick a little bit, not be a face, not be a heel, kind of be in between, whichever way you want to take it. But he has an opportunity to really do something here if they allow him to.
And you said, a small per, that you don't feel like people really hate him, they're just kind of laughing at him or whatnot. I think that makes it easier for him to transition into a good guy. I think that actually makes the process easier. And I do think he's going to come back as a good guy, but maybe not like, he was before the whole, I guess, crazy gimmick or whatnot. Also, in news, I'm sure Mr. Anonymous is thrilled because it's one half of his favorite people, new TNA Tag Team Champions, Crimson and Matt Morgan.
Oh God, the most generic tag team of
Crimson!
all. No, it's not the most generic tag team of all time. Let me take that back. It's not the most generic tag team of all time. But these two are so plain. These two teams should be the Plain Janes. Come down to the ring from such and such. World Tag Team Champions, the Plain Janes.
Usually I'm against throwing people together, like I didn't like Miz and R-Truth, Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston, D-Von and the Pope. But at this point with Impact Wrestling, I kind of feel like they don't really have a choice. With Jesse Neal being gone, the Motor City Machine Guns isn't Saban still injured. You have Beer Money doing their own thing now separately. You don't really have much of a choice to other than throw a couple people together and see if that's, if that's gonna work. And I can't say that I'm for this reign, but I kind of understand it.
I am completely for this because I thought Morgan can work on his own, but I still think that for him to really get to that next level as a main eventer, he needs some help. And same with Crimson, I tell you, he has some talent, okay? But he is just bleh.
He's
So I think,
undefeated.
what undefeated rate? Who the hell has he beat? Okay, give me a list of who he's beat.
Honestly, actually, in the same time that Goldberg was around, he probably beat more relevant people than Goldberg. Because
I'm gonna
who would
okay.
Goldberg fight? Kenny Chaos of High Voltage.
What the hell is Kenny Chaos? What's these people? See that right there. If I cannot even go into my memory banks and try to declassify who these individuals are, I don't think it should count. But that's my humble opinion.
Well,
That's the story for another day.
that's how Goldberg got his popularity by being guys like Kenny Chaos and Roadblock.
Well, you gotta build it up,
But
but
my point
with
is that
Crimson.
Crimson is beating more legit people than Goldberg is in about the same time.
But the difference is that Crimson, okay, but the difference in Goldberg and Crimson, Goldberg was being individual to add one nothing. Crimson is being people who are legit, can go, and yet he find these fluke ways to win these matches. Joe is loco. Who the hell else did he beat besides Joe that was legit?
Well, let me ask you this. Is the problem here that there are no... Let's say they did do like a Goldberg. One of the things that Goldberg had that Crimson doesn't is WCW had like, what was it at one point? Like 70 to 90 wrestlers on their roster. So it was very easy for some guys to just be expendable to just lose, even though you didn't see them. If Crimson had the same situation, do you think that you would like him more?
No, because Goldberg, he may be some lesser talent, but he had this aura about him.
No, an aura of hatred for me, at least. I hated the guy back in the day. I was like,
about him and
screw this guy.
Come on.
I hated Goldberg. I absolutely hated Goldberg.
Something about him. I don't know what it was, but it was Goldberg. I can't hate the guy.
Yeah, it was Goldberg. I'm going to watch Raw now.
See, with Crimson, it's Crimson. I'm going to see the Crimson, Vampire
Diaries.
I'm
like, good, Mr. Anonymous' favorite wrestlers in the ring. That's how I look at it.
But you know what? I get this with Crimson. With him and Morgan as a tag team, these two can help each other out. I look at them the same way I look at, who is that? Billy Gunn and Road Dogg. Two has talent. Yeah, it's just a character sucks. So put them together, you made magic happen. Will Lightning strike twice with this case? And 50-50 chance.
I'd love to see them start like maybe integrating some tag team moves together. You know, maybe even coming out to like a team song. Because there have been pairings that, you know, are just thrown together that work. Like you said, the Outlaws, Miz and Morrison, James Storm and Bobby Roode. You know, it's happened to other teams that we were like, oh, that's probably not going to work. And it did.
And we sort of saw that this past Thursday with these two and their dominated win over Mexican America. They do have some chemistry together, and we kind of saw some moves thrown into that mixture. So this can work if they have some talent to go against them. Mexican America, no. Someone else, maybe.
All right. With that in mind, we're going to take a quick promo break, and then we're going to have we're going to have the word of the day, and then we're also going to talk about some new, possible new signings with Impact Wrestling in the near future.
Baby, now that I found you, I won't let you go, because together, we can listen to archives of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show at sunsetfliprestling.podomatic.com.
All right, everyone, Jim Boy Star here, and it is your Word of the Day, brought to you by the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. Today's Word of the Day is bemuse. That's B-E-M-U-S-E. The definition is to make confused, puzzle, bewilder, to occupy the attention of, absorb, to cause to have feelings of wry or tolerant amusement. Here's an example of the word used in a sentence. She had neither asked for nor expected her newfound celebrity and was bemused by all the attention she was receiving. And now I will use the word bemuse in a sentence in regards to pro wrestling. When I was playing the WWE 12 Road to WrestleMania story on the Xbox 360, I felt a feeling of bemused due to the illogical aspects of that story. And most stories in regards to WWE. Once again, that was your word of the day, bemused. Brought to you here by the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Jennifer Lopez may claim that she's real, but here's what is real. The Sunset Flip Wrestling Show's YouTube page has returned, and you can check it out at www.youtube.com/sunsetflipshow. All right, Jim Boy Star here with Mr. Anonymous. You know, there are heavy rumors. And we, by the way, we have the DJ Hyde interview coming up in probably about 10 minutes. Morrison and Molina, obviously, they're saying Morrison's already out the door. That seems to already be the common thought. And obviously, Molina had already been released. Rumors. Impact Wrestling may want both of them. I am not against Morrison going. I am 100% against Molina showing up there. Mr. Anonymous, your thoughts?
Okay, I'm going to put this out here right now. I am against both of them going. I have a question for WWE. Why is Morrison being released in the first place? Is this over him giving a cold shoulder to one Trish Stratus at WrestleMania? Are we still holding a grudge over that because he chose his boo over some bra who they want to conversate with his lady? You know what? That is ridiculous. So what? He gave a cold shoulder. It's been worse stories I've heard from gentlemen in the back who said something about individuals giving cold shoulders. Hey, it was a situation with the Young Bucks earlier this year about cold shoulders and respect shown to your elders per se. So Morrison, this man was over. He had the ring ability. The fans loved him. He had the charisma to be a future world champion. But yet you say no because he chose to side with his lady. I understand it's respect. You want to show respect to Trish Stratus. We understand that. But at the same time, you got to know when money is in front of you. Money is about to walk out the door. And you know what? You are so blind to money that you want to let it walk to another company. You know what, Morrison? You have great talent. But I'm going to tell you this. You cannot bring anything to TNA because you will still be fresh in everyone's minds from your run to E. You, unless you change your character, you revamp it. You not call yourself Morrison. Your theme is not a remix of the W theme. You come out and you just gothic. Maybe you can get over by your ring ability and something we did not see in the E. But with that said, you will not make it because right now TNA, they are ready on this warpath of building up their own talent. We are seeing it happen. Why go backwards? We don't need a Morrison, and we damn sure don't need Bashamania herself.
Damn right.
Okay, that women's division, that knockouts division is deep. It is deep right now. We saw that in the past several weeks how deep this division is. What the hell does she bring here? Not a damn thing. We have Gail Kim. We have Mickey James. Hell, we got a Tara. We have a Winter. Goddamn. And we got an ODB. What else could you bring aside from an ODB?
Yeah, what else is there to bring? Because if you already have an ODB. You know, one other thing that I noticed in the news is apparently there was an interview up with Miz and Maryse. And mm-hmm. I think Maryse was asked about Impact Wrestling, you know, they were, you know, any appearance for Maryse in TNA, and I think her response was like, no TNA, no TNA, no TNA. I was like, man, that is probably the biggest lie that you'll ever say in your life, because not because she's going to go into TNA Wrestling, it's because she will be doing TNA, whether it's like photo shoots or whatnot. That's her future. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, that's, you know, Honestly, I could absolutely see her within a year doing Playboy.
She has a look. She has.
What else is she gonna do?
She was a decent actor.
Really? All right, name me a movie she was in.
She was a decent actor in the backstage skits they would have her do.
Oh, you mean the one where that all the writers write out for them, that there's no improvisation.
Exactly. Just stand here, say your lines.
So anyway, I don't think she will actually go to Impact Wrestling, but to say that she's no TNA is just absurd.
Well, yeah, I don't see her going to TNA because, again, she doesn't really bring it in. She has some wrestling ability, but I never thought anything was special about her.
No. I mean, other than the fact that she looks good. I mean, that's pretty much ends there as far as I think.
She's decent looking. She ain't my type. My type is an ODB.
Say she's no ODB for you, right?
Mm-mm.
Did you enjoy your ODB fix this week?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, I replayed that match, that elimination match a couple of times just to see my ODB. And I was mad that she wasn't on this week in that bra, that lingerie. Was that Thanksgiving Thong Thunder match?
Yeah, I forgot what it
was
called.
ODB.
Maybe she did.
She's always in her booty shorts. Where is she at?
Yeah, with Bam on it and everything.
Oh, my God, dude. Don't give me that image. Oh, God, I feel naughty for thinking that.
So, did you get WWE 12 yet?
Man, no. I didn't get WWE 12.
You didn't even get trampled for WWE 12.
Man, I got trampled. I got raped. I got molested. I'm pretty sure I'm going to need psychological help for all the trauma that I experienced in the past couple of hours today.
I don't even know how you're here. I mean, with all the stuff that you've gone through.
Man, I'm here to talk wrestling with Jim Boyce. What do you mean? Wow, I'm here.
No, I mean, like, based on everything that you've gone through, it seems like you'd just be, like, in your bed in a fetal position.
What? Oh, please do. Hell, fire, or storm, I will be here, Sunset Flip Wrestling, to talk with you, Jim Boyce.
So, I did get the game. I'll give a quick couple of thoughts on it. I think the road to WrestleMania is absolutely terrible. It may be the worst storyline mode I've experienced so far in a wrestling game. There's these little objectives. First off, you can't even choose who you want to be. You have to kind of go with the flow. You have these objectives you have to do. There's going to be some spoilers here. Like, I was Sheamus. That's the first person you are. And your objective, let's say, would be to beat up Wade Barrett and... Let's say it was Sheamus and Drew McIntyre versus Wade Barrett and William Regal, okay? Now, the objective could be to weaken William Regal, but you can't tag out. Because you can't, you have to do the objective with the person. Then when you finally hit the objective, there's a good chance that Barrett, they'll play cinematography, and Barrett will actually pin you. I don't recall any other wrestling or any game that makes you go through such ridiculous objectives and then actually shows a video clip of you losing so much. And this is saying a lot because I know my friend, I can't remember, Mr. McDan was just talking to me the other day about, we're talking old wrestling games, and he mentioned there was a game, I'm going to try to find out the information for next week's show, where apparently he won the Royal Rumble, but then didn't get a chance, get a title shot at WrestleMania because he had to fight Trish Stratus in a ladder match. I'm going to try to get to the, but as bad as that sounds, this is worse in my opinion, because at least he had a chance to win. At least that happened. And then, of course, there's the Triple H story, in which he... I'm not even going to go with that. I'll be on that for 20 minutes. But outside of Road to WrestleMania, it is much harder. I could have told it right from the back. Now, you mentioned, Mr. Anonymous, you've always played the games on Legend.
Of course.
Right, so did I. This time I just started on normal, and there's a, for example, like one match I hit a finisher, and my opponent rolled out of the ring. So, like, obviously the computer knows something, to enough knowledge to roll out of the ring so I don't pin him. the controls are much better. The overall setting, like the look, I think looks great. I have issues with the sound. I haven't heard anyone complain about this yet, but I guess being a sound person myself, I noticed this. It just seems at times the sound is uneven to me, but I guess in all, that's real. No one really looks for that except me. WWE Universe mode, it's the same, but except you can't, you don't have to have matches to change your title belts like the previous games. You can, like, right now I think they have us default Alberto Del Rio is WWE champion. If I was a Cena fan, I could absolutely change that without having a match and give it right to Cena. All so right. So that is different because the other time, the last game, they didn't let you do that.
Mm-mm.
Because I remember I would always have my Money in the Bank guy ready in case Triple H won the belt. so this it's good that it's like this. They do have the scramble. They have an absurd amount of titles. You saw how many titles were in the last game. What would you say, like 9?
It was all the previous titles, the current titles, a couple of WCW titles.
Yeah,
ECW
Hardcore.
Yeah, it was a fair amount.
There's probably double that, and I didn't unlock all of them to see what they are yet. I was able to unlock one, which was the European Championship. So, I don't know. It might just. I mean, it's just, maybe it's just me because I remember the old games where like sometimes there was only one title belt, and now there's like at least 11 there, at least.
Well, just in case you want to have one guy as a champion, but you feel this other guy deserves a title. Like I want to give him something.
Is that based on society where everyone gets a trophy because so no one feels bad kind of mentality?
I
think that's what this is. I think the fact that there's so many titles is partially because of that. You sound sad.
I do, because, that's a whole other case. I hate that analogy of everyone gets a trophy. No, I won. They should see me celebrating, not to rub in their faces. They shouldn't be getting a trophy for second place. What is second place? No. But I'm not against the whole a game fighting for one championship. Like, everyone scrambles for that one title and just take out the king. Well, Triple H in this case.
Right. And trust me, you'll know that he is the supreme ruler in this game if you play storyline with him. And by the way, yes, they do call Triple H a 16-time champion at one point in this game.
Woo!
It kind of makes me think that like they are just getting ready and gouging to see if there's a huge uproar about this. And like
can
for the
Triple
game,
H do it?
Of course he can. He can call his own shots. I win today. Done. All right, we have the DJ Hyde interview coming up here, and we also have some Ring of Honor talk. Final battles coming up, a lot more here on the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. Coming up next, the DJ Hyde interview with our associate Bill, or our staff member Bill, whatever you want to call him, our YouTube manager Bill, because the YouTube page is up at www.youtube.com/sunsetflipshow. Did you know that despite the WWE having a pay-per-view called Night of Champions, the main event of that pay-per-view did not feature one wrestler that was currently holding a championship title?
Hey everybody, this is Bill, and right now you're listening to the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, and I am joined right now by the owner of CZW, a very busy man right now, DJ Hyde. DJ, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, for those of you who don't know, coming up December the 3rd is a huge weekend for CZW, their biggest weekend of the year. The Cage of Death is around the corner. And also, something new that I've noticed this year is a doubleheader. You guys are going to have a afternoon show before the Cage of Death. Could you tell us a little bit more about it?
The afternoon show is not just Combat Zone Wrestling. It's actually a combination of 5 promotions. Typically in Japan, they do something called the Indie Summit once a year,
mm-hmm.
where promotions get together and basically have a series of matches between the promotions and people that work for them. background on this, this has been going on for roughly about 15 years. Now, currently, the promotions that are involved in this year, this first time in the United States, one are obviously Combat Zone Wrestling, who fans may be or may not be familiar with us and listen to your show. CZW is one of the predominant wrestling promotions in the United States. We're probably more known for hardcore wrestling than anything else. But we also do run the former ECW Arena. Also partnering up with us is our business partner, Big Japan Pro Wrestling. Big Japan Pro Wrestling is probably the top independent wrestling promotion in Japan right now. They also are known for their hardcore, but they also have great wrestlers like Daisuke Sakamoto, who is a predominant figure over in Japan now. After that, that brings us to DDT. DDT is probably most familiar with having Dick Togo and Kudo, guys along those lines, who both are actually on the show, and Kudo will be defending the DDT heavyweight title against Dick Togo in his last East Coast match on his retirement tour. After that, you will also see members from Freedoms. Freedoms is a Raw promotion of Big Japan Pro Wrestling, which is ran by Jun Kasai, who is the Crazy Monkey, and Takashi Sasaki, who both will be appearing on that event. It is also more known for an ultra-violent style, but as a mixture of other things. Then after that, you'll also see Kai and Tai Dojo, or K-Dojo, by, you know, WWE, former WWE superstar, Taka Michinoku, who will be sending people over representing his company for that event. With all those groups together, it's really going to be something historic. The card is up at czwrestling.com. It's going to be a wild main event with Naki Numazawa and Jun Kasai tagging up against BJW heavyweight deathmatch champion Raji Ito and CZW's Danny Havoc. You're going to see a tremendous, tremendous amount of things going on. I myself will be wrestling Ashe Dino, who is the owner of DDT. You'll see CZW Junior Heavyweight Champion, and probably one of the fastest rising independent superstars in the business, Sammy Callahan, wrestling BJW's, as I like to call him, Incredible Hulk, Yoshida Sasaki, and a number of other things that are going to be on that card. It's going to be a historic event based on just the fact that it's the first time promotions from Japan have got together and actually done a joint venture like this in the United States. And what better day to do it than one of the biggest days in independent wrestling at Cage of Death.
And I have seen the card. It looks really good from top to bottom. I definitely recommend for those fans who have never seen the Japanese wrestlers before to definitely check it out. And
well, you not only check it out, I think it's something that's going to be once in a lifetime, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of shots to see stuff like this very often. And, you know, I mean, and even if you want to check out maybe some of the products, you can go to, you know, CZW's distributor, HybridENT.TV, and you can check out anything from Big Japan, and shortly we'll actually be carrying Freedom's merchandise also.
Very cool. Now, of course, the Cage of Death, I think it's the second or third year in a row, you're going to be on internet pay-per-view, HybridNet.TV, is that correct?
Hybrid, HYBRIDENT, Hybrid ENT for Hybrid Entertainment.TV, airs all Combat Zone Wrestling's internet pay-per-views. We do great business with them. Pancoast Productions has came in within the last year and a half and taken over where Smart Mark Video was, and has really, really, you know, set the bar when it comes to professional wrestling production. Anybody that hasn't checked out the latest from CZW, I mean, just look at the quality of the editing and all the added features, things that you won't find anywhere else. And Hybrid does all this stuff live on their paper streams too. And they are also just the sole provider of Combat Zone Wrestling. But they will be streaming both the Independent Indie Summit and KJNet. So it'll be a great double header if you can't make it to the show to check it out on the internet, or even, you know, if you got one of these cool things nowadays, you can hook it up to your TV.
Yeah. Okay, now with the Cage of Death coming up, why should the fans order this pay-per-view? Why should they choose it for someone who's never seen CZW or never seen the Cage of Death before?
Well, if you're a wrestling fan, one thing about CZW, I mean, we're predominantly and probably most known for ultraviolence. John Zandig was my predecessor as the owner of the company, and that was his philosophy. He pushed ultraviolence to a limit that is unlike anything ever seen. Matches that have never been done, things that have never been done, taking it beyond hardcore. Now, CZW is like nothing else. It's a little bit different now. There's something for everybody on this show. There's something for everybody pretty much on every CZW show, but King of Death is what is viewed as our WrestleMania. It's a day in independent wrestling that's unheard of. You're going to get to see, you know, great stories. You're going to get to see tremendous wrestling. You're going to get to see hard-hitting, high-flying, you know, craziness, hot women. You know, and you're also going to get to see one of the craziest hardcore cage matches ever. And, you know, it's always a different design every year. It's unlike something that you'll normally see at those professional wrestling shows. It's not a typical, you know, cage. It's usually a different construction with many different environments and things along those lines. Watching this show is just something that is going to be unlike you've ever seen. One of the things that I find that new fans, when they come to a CZW show, is they've never seen anything like this. They've never experienced it live, and that's how we have really grown and grown a great following now, not only in the United States, but throughout the entire world. We've done a lot of tours in England lately. We've done Germany the last 3 or 4 years. We've done Italy, and we'll be actually doing Corgan Hall in Japan coming in 2012. Like I said, it's a product that is not your stereotypical wrestling company. We are a wrestling company. It's what we do, but it's something that is different. It's something that hopefully catches your imagination and sparks you to want more.
And I could say for experience, I've never been to a Cage of Death, but I have seen a couple. And trust me, folks, the cages every year are different. It's very unique to see. And I mean, if you ever go see it once, either it be, you know, in the arena or on TV, DVD, definitely have to check it out. The cages are so uniquely different each year. You'll never see the same one twice.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find different elements from other cages that we sometimes use, you know, and it also depends on who's in the cage, you know, I mean, and what their story may be or to, you know. Sometimes those things, you know, play a factor, but for the first time in 10 years, the CZW World Heavyweight Championship will be on the line in the Cage of Death. And, as I said, it's going to be a really historic day and a great day for wrestling.
Really sounds like it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more of this interview with DJ Hyde. Stay tuned.
Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. But you can get over a heartbreak by checking out the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show Facebook page at www.facebook.com/sunsetflipshow.
Okay, welcome back. still here with DJ Hyde. And one thing I wanted to talk about, and this is something that I've noticed over the last year or two, is the new talent that you guys have, from Adam Cole, who had a very, very good run as junior heavyweight champion, Rich Swann, Azrael Bandito Jr., just to name a few. How do you guys go find, you know, new young talent year after year to keep the product going?
Well, some of those guys, like we'll use Adam Cole as an example. Adam Cole's a homegrown guy. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole was trained at the CZW Wrestling Academy by myself. And, you know, we have a lot of guys that like that are in the academy now that are stepping up. I mean, now, I'm not going to say that every person that walks in there is an Adam Cole, because, I mean, trust me, they're not. But, I mean, Adam wants it. And, you know, with the CZW Wrestling Academy, we obviously will find people coming out of there, guys that, you know, I train. We've also brought in some new trainers, which actually are kicking off here starting December 1st. We're going to put that announcement out. And Adam Cole's actually going to be one of them. Him, alongside of Sammy Callahan and Drew Gulak, are assisting me in running the Combat Zone Wrestling Academy. We're also going to be opening up an academy out in the Midwest, which is going to be the CZW Dragon Den, which is going to be run by Drake Younger and Scotty Vortex, along with American Kickboxer. Kickboxer has a great reputation, has trained tons of guys out there at the Rage Dojo. It's going to be great having him on board along with Drake and Scotty. Other things is just keeping an eye on talent and what's going on. I mean, I keep a beat on pretty much everything that's going on in independent wrestling. I try to find guys that, you know, maybe not so much guys that have already made their names, but guys that's like they're just missing that something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're young, they're hungry, they want it. More guys that it's like they've never really gotten that shot. You know, I think Azrael and Bandito are two guys that are, you know, the current CZW tag team champions. And they really never got their run. They never got their, you know, they've wrestled for a lot of promotions in the, you know, New York, New Jersey area. And they've never really got the exposure that they could have got at a Combat Zone Wrestling, you know, to where, you know, the world is going to be watching them and getting them a lot of places. I mean, that, amidst, we also have a lot of, you know, guys that are on the lookout that, you know, will recommend guys to me. You know, a guy like you know, John Moxley, oh, I'm sorry, Dean Ambrose now, at WWE, former CZW World Heavyweight Champion, told me, he's like, you got to look at this guy, Jake Crist. He is flat-out amazing. You know, you find ways to give guys opportunity, and you bring them in and you say, look, here's the deal. You know, this is your opportunity. Take what you can from it. We also do some other shows that are not CZW-oriented. We more or less call them wire tapings now, or MBA, or something along those lines, which is typically our developmental type promotion, where we'll do, like, charity events, you know, things like that. And usually, guys, you know, you'll try something new on that show. We'll do some silliness that we probably would not do on a Combat Zone Wrestling show, like, you know, Santa Claus will wrestle, I think he is, on our next show that we do. They're pretty low-key and pretty small, but that's also where, you know, guys that will send me stuff or say, hey, I might want to look at this guy, where I'll go, hey, I'm going to bring these guys in, I'm going to let them go and see what they can do. And, you know, I mean, I get thousands of emails, literally. I literally do not joke with you. I probably get about 15 to 20 a day. And around this time of year, they've been going up, obviously, with Cage of Death coming on, and you know, a lot of the international stuff has happened lately, so people are really, you know, sending me stuff saying, hey, please look at this. You know, when I watch stuff, you know, you just got to find something. There's too much of the same out there. There's got to be something special about guys. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why I keep my pulse on everything. That you might have a guy that's wrestled at, you know, XYW that only runs in, you know, the middle of nowhere, but he might have a lot of talent. You know, he might want to get out there, but it's difficult for him to do it. You know, you find ways to give guys like that an opportunity. A guy like that, perfect example of that is a guy like Rich Swann. Rich Juan was wrestling at NCW, and basically I ran into him. He was, you know, wearing jean shorts to the ring, and he was a little flippy 18-year-old kid, and I said, "Look, come down to the wrestling academy, you know, work with us for a little while, blah, 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 you know, no charge, this. He came down, and now he's an international superstar. He makes his living in Japan for the most part. I mean, he's a great addition to CZW. I mean, he's wrestled for many of the top promotions. You know, another guy like that, another example of that is a guy like A.R. Fox. A.R. Fox is one of the fastest, hottest rising stars in independent wrestling. He was in Atlanta, Georgia, and him and Jonathan Gresham were two guys that I saw down there. There was just something about them. There was something that I had to give these guys an opportunity. I mean, and this is out of all, you know, the DVDs and the emails and YouTube videos and all the stuff that people send me. I picked these two guys, and A.R. Fox is really, you know, taking the ball and ran with it. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, finding that it. And that's pretty much what I look for.
Yeah. Now,
It happens.
Hey, I understand. Well, you know, as a fan of wrestling, you guys have had an unbelievable year. You've been all over the place. You've been to new places, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Indiana. As you mentioned earlier, you've been to England, Germany, Italy, and you're going to Japan next year. What other stuff are we going to be looking for in 2012?
I think 2012 is going to be probably the biggest year of Combat Zone Wrestling that we've had in our history. First and foremost, we are probably going to be doing a lot more travel. Indianapolis was mildly successful for us, but we've also secured that same venue Super Bowl weekend, and we are going to do a Super Saturday there, where literally the building is about 10 minutes from the Super Bowl. So the day before the Super Bowl, we're going to hold a major, major wrestling event in Indianapolis. And after KZ, that there's a lot of details going on about that. I think the other things, too, is we have developed a lot of new business partners. Obviously, we are going to Japan and, you know, working with Japan Pro Wrestling. A lot of our wrestlers have been over to Japan, including myself. I know myself, Adam Cole and Sami Callihan actually all return in March. Well, I return. That will be their first tour. And the Black Keys is leaving New Year's Day, and he'll be there for about a month and a half. We've also partnered WXW Germany and Fight Club Pro in England, and we will be returning to Germany and England. Now, that's just our international stuff. Back to being here at home. We recently, at our last Philadelphia event, did a doubleheader with Dragon Gate USA, and business seemed to be very good there. We are in talks to be doing more events with them outside of there. We've talked about doing Boston. I'm looking for other people and other areas. I can tell you, you know, Maryland is one of the areas that obviously I have a lot of connections in.
Yay!
We're looking at Ohio. Obviously, we have a great relationship in Indianapolis, and maybe going back down south again. It's pretty much where there's demand. I know another thing we've looked at for doing in 2013 is WrestleMania weekend. We talked about doing it this year. It just schedule-wise for certain people, it didn't work out, and that's something that is probably going to be on the horizon, where we will jump in with the Dragon Gates and, you know, Ring of Honors and do stuff at WrestleMania weekend. I think traveling is the next big, big step for us. You know, it's a little bit harder step for us because we don't have, you know, a backer or anything. We have DK Hyde and, you know, our CZW fan base. But I think traveling is where we're going to go. Other than that, we're going to try and take some new steps on doing a couple of projects. On Hybrid ENT, next year we will be, actually, I think at Cage of Death, we're going to be unveiling CZW 360, which is going to be our version of, you know, WWE's 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be filming a lot of original content for things. We're going to be trying to do, you know, just innovative DVDs, things that are different, things that people actually want to see. I mean, I think that's one thing that we're going to do. I know the first project we're doing is Sami Callihan and Adam Cole. where they've had a series of matchups over the last couple of years, and you know, we're going to do some sit-down interviews, and you know, kind of go over the matches. They're going to commentate the matches and just make it all around interesting, and so people can see, hey, this is what's going through this guy's head, and you know, and just give them a different perspective on things. It's all going to be original content on hybrident.tv. You know, it's all going to be, you know, there along with all of our merchandise. Everything's going to be there. I think a couple other things that we've discussed doing that I believe that we actually inked that we are going to do is we're going to do our version of CZW TV. We're not actually going to go into television because we've tried that experiment before and it's positive and negative in many different ways. What we're going to do is we're going to actually give away a couple matches on every show except for our live paper stream shows for free. And we're going to try and keep at least one marquee match on their show. Usually it's probably going to be two or three. And what we'll do is we'll air it live on Hybrid EMT and Ustream at the same time. That way, fans who maybe have not become a fan of our product can watch it for free. And, you know, instead of buying, maybe buying a DVD, and they, or maybe they just, you know, hey, I want to check out, you know, the wrestling. You know, it's CZW. Hey, I want to see, are these guys all about on garage, or can they actually wrestle, or do they have some good high flyers, you know? And they'll get that opportunity. And I think that's something different than nobody else is doing right now. I mean, we want to try and be, you know, the standard. As I said, I think since we brought on a Pancras Productions Hybrid ENT, when it comes to our DVD production and the production at our shows, we're second to none. I mean, I will even, you know, put it up there, you know, with WWE or TNA's quality. I will definitely stand by our product. And, you know, a lot of changes. I think that, you know, the company's going to go in a different direction. It has pretty much since I've taken over. I don't want to say I'm getting away from ultraviolence, but I want to do, you know, ultraviolence not for the sake of ultraviolence, except that one big tournament of death show a year. You know, there needs to be purposes for things more, you know, more control. It's something that, you know, I think we can do. And, you know, with some of the relationships we've built since I've taken over, it is amazing. I also believe that we'll probably be airing regularly in Japan on Samurai TV, which is something I'll actually be discussing at Cage Death. Just to actually be reviewing contracts for that. So that'll also benefit us and get a great following. I mean, other than that, my main goals are to, you know, get fans and, you know, say, hey, look, this is not, you know, CZW is not all about swinging light tubes because it's not what we do. You know, we have great, great talent. You know, changing the perception of what people think Combat Zone Wrestling is. It's not what it was 10 years ago. It's not about guys swinging light tubes and, you know, all that stuff. Do we do it? Yeah, we do it. But we also have guys like Adam Cole. We have guys like Sami Callihan. We have guys like the Black Keys and Joker and Azrael and Bandito. And we have some of the best wrestlers in the world. And, you know, bar none. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, is really on the horizon. I like to take off ramps. You know, feel free to, you know, check it out. And like I said, I mean, if you got a question or concern, I'm really easy to get a hold of. You can email me at djhyde@czwrestling.com. I have Facebook. You know, it's, you know, Facebook, DJHyde1, the number one. And, you know, I have a Twitter, which is DJHyde_1. You know, feel free. I will get back to you. I love hearing from fans, whether you know, you like my work or you like CZW or you hate it. You know, feel free. That's what I'm here for. I might not be the fastest to get back to you sometimes, but I always get back to you within a day or two.
Wow, that's a lot of things coming the way of CZW in the upcoming year.
That's just on the horizon now. I'm sure that there's going to be a whole lot more after that.
Yeah. All right, well, DJ, thank you for taking some time out to do this interview. Get ready for Cage of Death. Remember, it's December 3rd, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Asylum Arena. If you can't be there, it's hybrident.tv. And DJ, thank you for taking the time out.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, and now back to Jim.
J.
Jennifer Lopez may claim that she's real, but here's what is real. The Sunset Flip Wrestling Show's YouTube page has returned, and you can check it out at www.youtube.com/sunsetflipshow. All right, Jim Boy Star back here with Mr. Anonymous. It is the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show on Decadence Radio. Hope everyone enjoyed the DJ Hyde interview. Ring of Honor news as well. We have the main event is set for the pay-per-view coming up. It is Eddie Edwards versus Davey Richards. Eddie Edwards going to be accompanied to the ring, I guess, by who they're saying has been training him, Dan Severn. Your thoughts, Mr. Anonymous.
All right, everyone out there, to be completely honest, I have not been keeping up with Ring of Honor. Final battle? I didn't even know there was a final battle. When was the first one? I'll be honest, I have not been keeping up.
I think it was in January. That was the first battle. This is the final battle of 2011.
I'm sorry, I have not been keeping up. Wow. I will be doing a review of past events up to the show. Trust me, I will get caught up in time for the pay-per-view. I'm not going to order it. I'm going to wait till after the fact, and I'm going to buy the DVD from Ring of Honor.
Look at you. Aren't you impressive? But what are your thoughts on the fact that, out of all people they bring in, Dan Severn?
Who is Dan Severn?
He was in WWE. He was in UFC. He feuded with Shamrock in UFC. We thought that we were going to get a feud between them in WWE at one point. I want to say in 1998. No?
So are they trying to bring him in so they can, is he a good guy, bad guy? So are they trying to bring in some heat for...
I think what it is they're trying to play it off like, because Eddie Edwards lost to Davey Richards at Best in the World, the iPay-per-view earlier this year. And I think they're saying, oh, now Eddie Edwards has a better trainer now than he did before. He's more hungry for this win. Okay. I think that's how they're going with it. Or maybe I'm just looking into things too much, but that's what I think.
All right, so is his wrestling style basically the ground? Or,
yeah, they played it off like he... Let's play it this way. He was like they played it off like he was a Shamrock, but they didn't push him as much.
He's not Shamrock, but he's more rounded. He's more rounded at wrestling.
I guess you could say that. You know, so we'll see what happens with that. Looking forward to it. The other match, of course, is Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin against the Briscoe brothers for the tag team titles.
Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. I've been high on these two since they won these tag team titles. I said it before, I said it again. In ring, they are great mic-wise. They are still need work. The Briscoe brothers, they scared the hell out of me. I've seen these guys' promos. Just the simple fact how hungry they were to get those titles and all the teams they had to go through to get them. I'm a little nervous on them, and I know wrestling's not what... But nonetheless, I'm still nervous of the Briscoe brothers. I think the match is going to be great because basically these four... Well, Benjamin and Haas, they work good with anyone. They can make anyone great, but they don't need to do that with the Briscoe brothers. They bring their own work to the ring. So it's going to be a great match.
I wonder, because it hasn't been announced yet, and next weekend they actually have two events, Ring of Honor does, if they're going to add a stipulation to that, Briscoes versus Benjamin and Haas. Because I kind of feel like it needs something extra. But maybe that's just me. But then again, you don't really follow that much, so it could be a regular match and you're fine with it. But as someone that follows Ring of Honor, I kind of feel like it needs that. Anyway, we'll have to see how things go with that. We also have one thing I was talking to Mr. Anonymous about earlier. One thing that I don't really particularly like about WWE is what I feel is the lack of characters. And I think most of the roster is either generic, I stand up for what's right, good guy, or generic, I'm mean, bad guy. I want to ask Mr. Anonymous, and I've said on this show before, I know I've said this before, in my opinion, if I were to pick one person that from each side for most generic good guy, it would be Alex Riley. And most generic bad guy, it would be Dolph Ziggler. Mr. Anonymous disagrees. And I just wanted to get his thoughts on who he thinks is the most generic good guy and bad guy. And maybe go into it a little bit.
All right, for me, the most generic good guy is, of course, John Cena. What are you? What makes you good, John Cena? What is this guy's character? What makes him stand out above the rest? Okay, yeah, you're big. You have a rap song as your theme music.
That he sings.
Yeah, he sings. Okay,
good. Actually, that makes a big deal out of everything, because there's something special about, even, you know, Shawn Michaels did his song, the MVP song that he had for like 1 week, which I loved, and then he left.
Oh God.
To me, that makes it special when you sing the song, because that means that it cannot be associated with anyone else. Because you're
okay,
singing.
Let's go into that song. My time is now. Your time is now.
He's the face of the WWE. You certainly cannot deny that.
Yes, you are right. I cannot deny that he is.
The way they push him all the time, even like he might be out of, even though he might not go for the championship, he's still in the main event sometimes. So yeah, clearly, at least, and he's the only guy that I can recall where I've been to a live event and they said Cena wasn't there, and they actually gave refunds out because of that.
Wow. Well, he is the main drawing power behind for half the merchandise that they sell. I'm not going to knock that. The man sells merchandise. The kids love him. The ladies love him. Some of the ladies. All right, this man can go in the ring. Okay, cool. But to me, he is generic for the simple fact. Ain't nothing about him that tells me that he is any better than any other guy. He's just another guy on the roster. Yeah, if he comes out, you get a mixed reaction, and that give you reasons why. But aside from that, what makes you special? What makes you special? The Rock comes out, you know why he's special. He doesn't even have to tell you. You can see it. You can feel it. It's in the air. It's in the water. You can feel it. When I see Cena, I don't feel special. Cena can be gone for 6 months. He comes back. Oh, God, this guy's back again.
You know, but at the same time, just because you don't think he's special doesn't mean that he doesn't have a gimmick. That's two different things. Like, he's the generic, I stand up for what's good guy, but he's the only one that should have that role. My problem with WWE is he's not the only one that has that role. Almost all of them have that role. Like I said, you use The Rock as an example. Guess what? The Rock, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, again, he's in the song. You know, he's the Rock. He has that distinguished look to him, you know, that no one else would be able to pull off. You know, so that's what I look for in gimmicks. It's not a matter of, you know, what makes you special, because let's face it, Kerwin White wasn't special, but that was a gimmick.
That was so goofy. Come on.
But it was a gimmick. It's not about if it's goofy or not. It is a gimmick. And it's one thing that is seriously lacking in WWE these days, is the gimmicks. All right, but who's your generic bad guy? Who did you say?
My generic bad guy was Alberto Del Rio.
I could not disagree more with you. Let's look at this. See, he comes out in a car. That's, again, no one else does that. His music is Mexican-style music, which fits the character for him. Unlike generic, I don't even know, these three-door hoobaback bands that they have play these generic songs that don't fit most of the guys. He has his own ring announcer who speaks in Spanish because he's in he's a Mexican character, so that works.
Love him.
There's not really much else that wouldn't qualify as a gimmick. He's probably one of the only people that actually has one.
Okay, he's a Mexican aristocrat. Aristocrat? No, I cannot pronounce that
aristocrat.
Right. Okay.
You mean like the movie from Disney?
Maybe. Maybe he's a Mexican one that no one knew about. Disney had to put that to the side.
I remember that song, Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
Yes, everyone wants to be a Hispanic cat. I'm not mad at that. But aside from coming to the ring with a nice car, kind of decent theme song. Rodriguez, Saying Your Name.
Okay.
There's nothing really, no much deeper to him. There's nothing really. We don't know nothing about this guy. There's nothing. He could be any other. You play anyone else in that same position, and they probably have more to do with it because they can get that character over or
I think
somewhat.
I'm pretty sure if you put Husky Harris there, I don't think it would fit him.
You can put, man, Husky can make it work. Hardcore Country, he can make it work.
So like, I like I said I don't agree, like I said I don't agree because I think Del Rio is one of the only ones that actually has a gimmick in that entire company. Because you know what people I think have a hard time to distinguish, because I see this a lot on like message boards or whatnot, is there's a difference between a theme song fitting you and having a good song, and I don't think people can really distinguish which is which. Like I said, there's a lot of songs out there that are these generic rock bands, like the Corrs. I'm going to use the Corrs theme song because I don't even know what it is. Nothing really said anything about that group at all. But maybe some people thought it was a good song, but it doesn't fit the character. You know, whereas let's go with Repo Man, all right? Repo Man, it says his name. There's a distinct sound, you know. It can't be used for Tugboat. You cannot have Tugboat coming out to a song that goes Repo Man. There's differences that I just don't think people understand. And like I said, to me, the two most generic, like I said, the good guy is Alex Riley with his generic Linkin Park paper cut ripoff song. And
say it to my face!
It's totally Linkin Park. Like, take away the lyrics and then start singing Linkin Park's Paper Cut. It actually fits. So, and then the generic bad guy, to me, is Dolph Ziggler.
No, okay. Yes. You talk about gimmicks. He has a gimmick now. He has a gimmick, and it works.
He is perfection, yet nothing has shown me through gimmicks like... Any video clips like Mr. Perfect that shows me he does anything perfect. He's got the generic song that can go with anyone because he hasn't shown me that he does things that are perfection. And I mean, it helps obviously that he's with the biggest, one of the top bad guys or bad people in the WWE, Vicky Guerrero and Michael Cole. And by the way, that's very sad that they're the top two heels in the company.
They know how to work a crowd. What can you say?
It shows me that the other guys just suck.
No, not Dolph. Now here, okay.
Not Dolph. Like you, like I can picture you crossing your arms when you say that.
No, you can picture me pointing my fingers at you. I'm doing it figuratively.
I was hoping you were doing it for real. That way, like, maybe someone would walk in and think that you're fighting with the computer. And then...
like, he gonna hear my point.
So go ahead.
But Dolph has a gimmick. Okay, I get what you're saying. And let me hit you with this. He has not used that perfection gimmick in some time. He completely dropped that. It's not even in the song. If you listen to his new theme song, it's not in it. That's Hook at Perfection.
He never had it, though. That's my biggest problem. He never, ever had anything that... Name me what he did that was, like, perfection. Even, like, Mr. Perfect. His finishing move looked nice that no one could do it because he did it perfectly. What did Dolph Ziggler do that was perfection at any time in his career to reaffirm this gimmick that he supposedly has?
He had great matches that were perfection for him in the ring.
Do you realize how many people have great matches?
Okay, name me some of the young guys who have had great matches in the roster. I can name you five Dolph Ziggler matches that were great.
Well, to be
saw perfection.
To be fair, now first, because the whole match thing goes... I don't like going into this because everyone has a different opinion of matches. Like, I love high-flying, fast-paced, which is why I love Ring of Honor. Yet the WWE style kind of bores me, so I don't think this is really a very fair question to ask. At least to me, someone who finds the WWE style as a whole, you know, kind of like, eh. So, I mean, I don't really want to answer that because I don't think it's a fair question for me to give you a fair answer. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes sense. I hear what you're coming from. So if you say you like fast-paced matches, that's right. You watch Ring of Honor. So I give you this match. I give you Dolph Ziggler and I give you Rey Mysterio. Any match between these two were perfection. You
right.
want a gimmick, you want perfection, there you go, right there. Watch every match between these two. These two were gold together. You want perfection, you want picture perfect, you get it every time these two individuals step in the ring and went mano y mano.
But your definition of perfection is him just having a good match. And like I said, that just goes back to general. Maybe someone thinks Dolph Ziggler's terrible in the ring. I'm not saying I think that. And maybe they like Randy Orton. And the only reason I say that is because I'm looking at the TV screen and he's on now. It's a matter of opinion. So you cannot use that for a gimmick. Whereas, let's go back to Repo Man. There's no arguing that it says Repo Man in his song.
Okay.
There's no arguing, you know, that Alberto Del Rio comes out with a car.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot base it on someone's matches, because when it comes to that, everyone has a difference of opinion of who, what kind of match they like. Some people like slow matches, slow technical style matches. I like high flying. Some people like hardcore, like, you know, blood and going through tables and hardcore stuff like that. I just don't think that's not a gimmick, though, that you have good matches, because that could be applied to so many other people.
All right, I give you this. I give you Kurt Angle wrestling machine gimmick. Was it his last?
Well, that wasn't just his gimmick. His gimmick was also the Olympian. He had red, white, and blue in his video. You know, he had the song, which originally was used for the Patriot, was like an Americanized, American-like song, like that he mm-hmm. was. Again, that was his gimmick, not that he's a wrestling machine. I mean, they could use it, and they eventually did. But there are other things that round out that man.
Yeah, but for that particular moment in time, he wasn't saying, I am the Olympian.
Yes, he did. That was his whole thing. He's like, I'm the Olympian, I have the three eyes.
No, he did, but for that particular time, when he transitioned to a wrestling machine, it was all about, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to put on great matches, and you all will love me. And he did. He proved that. Hell, I'll give you an example. Undertaker, Kurt Angle, No Way Out. Check it out.
That was a great match. I do remember that.
Gorgeous match.
But, again, it goes back to my point of, even in his video, you know, says, what is it? 13-time champion, Olympic gold medalist, and I mean, and every once in a while he would throw out the medalist gimmick, you know, like as that part of his character. Again, mm-hmm. this is all that makes him, not just that he's having great matches. There's more to that. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so that leads me back to Mr. Cena. What is there more about Cena? Was there more aside from his theme song and him singing along?
My Time Is Now, which fits him. You know, like I said, the music fits him. The My Time Is Now, it symbolizes like I said with WWE, that was his time to be pushed. Because when did he start using that? When he went to the Raw brand, right? Which is when he really started getting pushed.
He used it with his feud with JBL.
Right. Like I said, Cena, I'm not lying to you here. I'm not saying Cena is the most gimmick guy. My problem is that Cena, yes, he is. Well, if you want to go in depth, most people will probably say he's Superman. But my thing is right. just that he is the generic good guy, but he's the only one, like Hulk Hogan, that should in the 80s, that should have that gimmick. Whereas now, more than half half the roster has it.
But I would think, if you're going that generic good guy who's up good, at least Hogan was something more to it. At least he had some extra to bring to the cake. Eat your vitamins. If you didn't like him, okay, it hurt Hogan. It hurt him.
I agree with that. And like I said, I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to say is that Cena, yes, he does have generic good guy as his gimmick, but my problem is he's the only one on that roster that should have it. No one else should, because he's the top guy. That's my
okay. Problem. In that sense, I agree with you. It should one gimmick, one per person. Gimmicks that are the same should not be applied to everyone else because it doesn't fit that particular character.
Right.
Cena, yeah, he is that ultra good guy. That Superman who was saying, God, that could actually be his gimmick, Superman. We've seen it many times.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And I mean, you know, you compare that to the Hulk up in some ways, you know, where he just comes back from ridiculous things. So, like I said, that's pretty much my point in regards to that. Do you have any final thoughts on my ramblings here about gimmicks?
My final thoughts is on this. It's actually one particular gimmick that I was always a fan of, and it was Kane. Kane. We saw a Kane promo this past Monday, and we may see a return of Kane in his mask. He has been growing out his hair and his goatee. So, just for food for thought.
You know what my problem with that is, though? I don't think I was actually aware of that, but that was confirmed that he might come back with the mask. How do you explain that? Think about this. All of a sudden, like, what does he do? He wakes up and is like, you know what? I kind of feel like wearing a mask today. Like someone wakes up and wears a hat today.
And you know what? I actually have been thinking about this for a long time because I've always wanted him to go back to that mask. I thought his first run without it was good, but then it kind of went downhill from there.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you, and I absolutely want the mask back, but I just don't know how you explain it.
This is how you can do it. Okay, I say when he comes back, don't have the mask. Have it where he goes at the Mark for revenge. Mark does everything he can to stop Kane, but it doesn't work. So he figures, okay, let me use fire. So somehow he intricates fire into the scenario, and he shoots fire into his face or however way you want to put it. And it burns him. He's just in agony. And so Mark, still your champion. He thinks all is good. But Kane returns.
Mark, he's still your champion. He's still bringing in ratings. Let's remember that.
Yeah. Yes. Mark is still your champion. So later down the road, you have Kane return. Familiar music, familiar costume, familiar mask. He comes back. Kane, when he had his mask, he was immortal. What could really stop him besides Taker? He comes back. He takes off that title. And there you go. That's how you get that mask back on Kane.
All right. Let's see if that happens. See, my problem is that I don't think WWE is that logical. So I don't really see that happening. Also, what I do see happening is the return of Chris Jericho on January 2nd. It is the 2nd, okay. Right?
Yes, I'm not going with that. I'm telling you, it is Taker. Taker.
All right, well, we're running out of time here. Next week, it'll be myself and Bill for next week's Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. Any final thoughts in general, Mr. Anonymous?
No final thoughts. Happy belated Turkey Day to everyone, and enjoy the show. That's all I can say.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.